Okay, so till the slide comes up, do we know which is the series that is going on? Endurance, excellent. So first week, like the Sunday, 3 weeks ago, which was the endurance that we looked at? God's endurance. Okay, God's endurance towards us. Then second week, anyone remembers? Endurance as a person, as an individual. Okay, so how God is enabling us to endure and how He expects us to endure. Now, the third week was endurance as a family. Very good. So that was last week. And today, we're going to look at the church. Okay, endurance as a church. So, very good that, Virgil got so many things for us to learn, to endure, right? To persevere at it. So we have been persevering at the messages for quite some time. We've been telling, please respond, please respond, please respond. So it's okay if you've not been coming, just respond. Like, I'm not coming and I'm not available, right? So that is endurance. So let's just pray before we actually start off with endurance, because this is about church and we need to take the heart of God for it. Lord, we want to thank you for today's word, and we believe, O Lord God, that you will speak to us and you will enlighten us with your word, and you will help us, O Lord God, to follow it, O Lord God, and not to just hear it, O Lord God. Lord, the sheep hears the shepherd and they follow the shepherd. Lord, you are the greatest shepherd, Lord, and we are your sheep, and we want to follow your voice, Lord God, and we want to hear what you have set apart for us today, O Lord God. We believe, Lord God, that you will speak into our hearts and you will enable us to endure, O God, as a church. Thank you, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so before I begin with, I thought I'll start with a small story about these two frogs. Okay, so I don't know if you've heard it when you were in school and all. So there were these two frogs. Okay, they were stuck in a milk pot. Okay, and the pot was quite long, and they could not get out of the pot. So the milk was like almost like 3/4 of the pot. Now both the frogs started, trying, hopping and jumping around. One of them said, "Oh, it's too tiring." And the one of the frog gave up. And when it gives up, what happens? It will drown. Okay, and it died. Whereas the other frog, it continued. Okay, although it was very slippery inside because it's milk, right? So it's like oily, slippery, and all. It went on hopping and jumping, trying to swim on, and did not give up. Eventually, it felt very tired, but the frog said, "I will not give up. Let me just try. Something will happen. I will be saved." So what happens when the milk is churned, like when you beat it a lot of time? Froth happens, and then eventually it becomes curdled, right? And then it becomes into butter, right? So when it becomes butter, it becomes hard, of course, right? So the frog was able to jump on this hard thing, which turned, like, which became into butter and hopped out of the pot. All right. So now, what did we learn from the first frog? Giving up, right? He gave up and he died. Whereas the other frog, who did not give up, was able to hop out of the jar. But there's a third lesson that we learned from this, was that the first frog who died could have been motivated and encouraged by the second frog, right? Saying that, "Don't give up, come on. Let's try, let's try, let's try." And I think the second frog could have saved the first frog's life by encouraging and motivating. Although there were two frogs stuck in the same pot, one got saved, one did not. Similarly, in the church, there are some people who will persevere, persevere, endure, endure. But there are some people who will give up and say, "No, I am done with it. I don't want to go ahead with it." There are certain situations. But as a church, as a community, we cannot be like the second frog, being selfish and saying, "Let it be, let him die." But I need to encourage my brethren and say, come on, endure. This is how a church functions. This is how the body of Christ functions. Where we say, come on, get up. Don't give up. Right? So we heard how God endured. Then we heard how we as individuals need to endure. Thirdly, as a family, but as a church, we need to all gear up. Whether we know each other or not, we hear something about them. We pray for them and we encourage them and we say, Lord, help that person not to give up. Okay, although we don't know them. If we know them, all well and good. You call them up, you pray for them, you encourage them, right? So as a church. So as a Christian, what does endurance means? Unlike most competitions, running the race in spiritual term is not trying to be first. Okay, so in a Christian race, it is not trying to be first, but be faithful and finish. The Christian race is not a competitive event to see who comes in first, but an endurance run to see who finishes faithfully. So can you tell your neighbor, we will finish faithfully? Yes. So I purposely said we because it's all of us. We, all of us. Nobody is coming first. Nobody is getting the trophy alone. Everybody, okay, it's we all finish the race faithfully. Okay, so we will see a scripture portion from Revelation where God speaks about a church, okay, particularly, very clearly it says this was a church, okay, and so this speaks about, in this book of Revelation there are seven churches, okay, that God particularly notices, and one of them is the church of Philadelphia. Okay, so the first church, he says, you are lukewarm and you are this and you are that. Second church also, he says, you have not been faithful and all. But for the church of Philadelphia, he says something very important. Okay, so I'll just read it for you. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. So it is not talking about individual. It is talking about the church. So probably it could be RHC. RHC, I know your deeds. It is saying like that. Okay. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength. How much strength? Little strength. Because we are not a people of 5,000, 6,000. We are small. We are still budding, like little strength, right? So little strength. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. The new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven, from my God, and I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay, so say, I have ears and I will hear. Tell your neighbor. Yes, so this is the church, okay, which endured patiently. See, we can see there were a lot of things that happened here. We will get back to that, and we see that God is really appreciating this church. He's saying that though you have had little strength, you have done this, you have done that, you have stood the trial, now you're going to get a crown. So as a church, we definitely await that crown, and we want all of us to be part of that commitment. Now, can you shoot out why as a church we need to endure? Any ideas, anything that comes to your mind? Why as a church we need to endure? Or what do we need to persevere at? if I were to put it that way. Anything? Think. Ministry, you need to persevere in your ministry. You need to, okay, bring in many people, teach them, train them. Very good. Why do we as a church need to persevere? It's a call of God. Very good. Excellent. Yes. So when two or three are gathered, God's presence is there. So we need to abide by that. We need to revere that and we need to endure it. Excellent. Very good. It will not be easy. So we need to keep on going. There will be different people, different personalities, different, attitudes, various ways people function. So we need to persevere, come together, because we are told that we are the body of Christ. Right? So we need to come together with all those differences and persevere. Excellent. Very good. Yes. So why should we endure as a church? Because in Hebrews 12:1 it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So many times what happens is, because we are set apart, and then eventually we go out into the world. So what happens? We again get scattered and we hear a lot of things that happens, and again we come back on Sundays. So we are set apart, but there is a sin which clings very easily. So we need each other. We need as a community to encourage each other to say that no, you can come out of this sin. You can come out of this weakness. You can do this. You will be healed. You will be restored. So we go out, and we may get affected. But when we come back to the community, we heal each other. We bless each other. That is why the church needs to endure. That is why we need to come together and say, no, we cannot lose. Our hope. We need to come together and love each other and bless each other. Right? So that is why as a church we need to endure. Not because as a person, but as a church we bless each other. We rub that, spiritual blessings towards each other. We become contagious in our faith. Right? So if I have faith, I can be contagious to the other person. The other person becomes contagious to the third person. And that's how we as a community come together and we become, then we can run the race as a church, right? So, we are the bride of Christ, the army of the Lord. Okay, so there was, so as we see, even the churches in Philadelphia, they had to persevere together, right? In Romans 12:3-8, it says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Okay, so that is how the church functions. So each of us are gifted with something. And when we come together, we do that with each other. We teach, we bless, and we encourage each other with whatever functions that we have. So that is why church needs to be together to endure. Now, how do we know that we are not enduring as a church? You got the first answer when we made the announcement. How are we not enduring as a church? By not responding, okay, to the message. Okay. Any other? Now that is number one. Number two? By not helping each other, excellent. By not making efforts, right? Being on our own, doing on our own, very good. I get more responses now. Changing the decisions, yes, changing decisions. One time we say yes, 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 then we say no. I think this is more important, right? Not being selfless. Okay, we are very selfish. Yes. Good. So we are not enduring because see, again you saw it is all about me. So it doesn't come, when it comes to church, when it becomes a me thing, then we are not enduring, right? So when we make self-decisions, selfishness, self-reliance, so it becomes like a lot of self, self, self. I becomes bigger, right? But in the church, the you has to become bigger, right? Church, right? So we are not enduring because these are the signs of non-endurance. Sometimes we don't endure because somebody has told something, corrected us, because we have different gifts, right? So sometimes some leaders might have said something, or maybe the church is going through a transition. So there's a lot of things that is going, there's a lot of transformation happening. What happens? We are not patient enough. We do not persevere the transition. We say, "Theek hai, ye church so transition mein hai. This church is transitioning. Let me go and find another church." Right? So we are not enduring with the transition. We are not enduring with what is happening. We are not persisting at, and we are not helping. Like how somebody said, "Na, we are not helping the church grow." But we are very conveniently saying, "I am not comfortable here, so I will leave." Right? I am not getting what I want, so I will leave. So that is another sign that we are not enduring as a church. We are only looking at ourselves, our needs, my family, me, myself, right? So as a church, if we endure, we stay together, stick together as a community, as a family. So can you tell your neighbor, "I am going to stick with you"? Yes, so you are going to stick with each other because you are the church, right? And as a community. So let's see what the Church of Philadelphia has actually done. So there are a few highlights because we really want to learn, right? So God has really commended them something. So what did they do actually? So let's just go through it. Okay, it says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia writes, it says that, "I know your deeds," right? So if God had to tell Renewed Hope community, "I know your deeds," what are the deeds that we are doing? Anything that comes to your mind? "I know your deeds." Not individually. Individually, we may be doing a lot of deeds. But as a church, what do you think? Street children ministry means you're looking after the poor. I am very happy with that, right? Excellent. Ministry, you are equipping everybody with whatever skills I'm giving you. So teaching, like the Sunday school, the worship team, the ushering. Excellent. Any other deeds that you see? Correct. We are praying for the institutions. We are not being selfish, but we are trying to go around in the locality and saying, "Lord, bless our city. Bless the people around us, bless the hostels, bless the colleges, bless the people." And we pray for each other also, right? So yes, so the deeds that we are doing as Renewed Hope. Anything else? Discipleship. So God is really, awed by the deeds that you're doing. You are helping the other person grow spiritually. Excellent. Excellent. So evangelism is happening. You're telling about, the light. Today we spoke about the light. So you're telling. So the deeds are good. So I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. So as we do a lot of deeds, God will open up doors. So even this new thing that is happening, the new church premises, I think God is opening up a door and saying, "Yes, see, I have placed an open door because the deeds that you're doing." The moment we stop doing the deeds, like how we said, there's a, a bar that's a red alert saying that, no, you're not doing the deed. So the doors will be shut. There will be no more growth. There will be no more endurance, right? So we have to continue to do our deeds. Now, how do we do our deeds? Because we are strong, because we are many. Is that so? No. Because the Church of Philadelphia, it says, I know that you have little strength. How much strength? Little strength. Do we have a lot of strength? No, we are all working. We are all busy. But still we make time. Right? And we push ourselves. So even for Saturday worship or Friday cell meeting or maybe Wednesday women men's meeting, prayer meeting, we all push ourselves and say we have very little strength. We have no energy. We have worked from Monday to Friday. Some people work till Saturday and still they make it on a Sunday, right? So we have little strength, yet you have kept my word. That is what the word of God says. So if we say we are like the Church of Philadelphia, we can, you know, what do you say, replicate that. And have not denied my name, right? So we have kept the name of the Lord wherever we have gone. Then it says in verse 11, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have. Can you tell your neighbor, hold on to what you have? Yes. So long we have done whatever we could, right? Hold on to more of it. So we'll see more of things happening. Not only good things, but there will be certain challenges that will come our way, right? So there will be obstacles, okay? And you may feel that, oh, should I give up here? Should I just not continue here? Okay, there are constantly phone calls coming and saying, are you coming for this meeting, that meeting? Should I just give up and go to a normal, you know, church where there is no disturbance, only a church goer, right? So there will be times where you have to hold on and say, no, that is for my spiritual growth. That is, as a church, we need to grow. We need to grow in knowing the word of God so that wherever we go, we resemble or we are like the ambassadors of Jesus Christ, right? So this is the Church of Philadelphia. Now, also seems like they did not have a smooth journey, right? So they had a lot of ups and downs. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. So probably there might have been instances where there might have been, you know, defeats, or, you know, there might have been certain issues where they were really thinking, Lord, will we be victorious here? Right? So it has not been an easy journey for Philadelphia. But they have persisted. They have persevered at it. Now, we are the church, right? And the church is a people of God. We are united in Christ. Hence, we need to learn to endure. Now, there are certain practical ways that we will learn to endure. How do we endure? What are the things that we need to endure in? Enduring in our relationships with each other. Okay, let me ask you, what is the most difficult part in enduring in a relationship? Difference of opinion, yes. You play that chord, I play this chord. Okay, so differences of opinion, okay, yes, very good. Anything else? Very true. Okay, enduring in a relationship, what is so difficult in enduring? Submitting to each other, yes. Especially in discipleship, when our leaders or mentors say, let's do it this way. But I have years of experience. I have knowledge. This is not the in thing. This is not the what the youngsters do. This is all old people do. So many times we have the differences, na? So as a church, this is where we have to endure in our relationships. Sometimes we may say certain things which others may not. It may have been misinterpreted or misunderstood. So we need to reiterate it and saying, oh, I think this is how we have to do. So enduring in our relationships with each other, right? So can you tell your neighbor, I will endure in relationship in the church. Yes. All awake and alert. Good. So it says also in Ephesians 4, 3 to 7, make every effort. Means it's not easy. Right? So if it would have been easy, I think Paul wouldn't have written like make every effort. He would have said just make an effort to, you know, every effort means even if that person is not talking, you go and tell, I'm sorry. And, you know, you go and, you know, sort it out in the church rather than, you know, doing it, you know, getting it very, you know, ugly. So make every effort to keep the unity of the spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Right? So if God, if Jesus has shown us a grace, let's show grace to each other. Right? And we forgive each other and we build the relationships with each other. Right? In the church. So be it your leader, be it your partner in any ministry. Let's endure in our relationships. Then, enduring in our quest to know God's word. Right? So many times we have discussed and we have come to know that many of our, you know, in the church, we do not have sufficient faith, or we get into this whole thing of anxiety and this whole thing because we do not know the word of God. Many times we fail to address our issues at home or family or workplaces because we are not rooted in the word of God. Because the word of God gives us the freedom to understand what's happening. How do I respond to the situation? So that is why we as a church need to endure in this quest to understand the word of God. Now, how do we do that? We have various ministries, no? Like the midweek, where we learn the word of God. The women and men's meet, where we understand the word of God. Then we have our personal times of quiet time. And, you know, the church encourages. And there is foundation course where we say this is how you need to explore the word of God. So when as a church we become stronger in the word of God, there will be no deception. Okay, the deception will go far away from our community. And as a person also you become stronger. So as soon as you call up somebody from the church, they will encourage you through the word of God, not with gossips. Okay, they will encourage you and motivate you saying that, oh, this is the word of God. Because it says in Hebrews 4, 12, 13, for the word of God is alive and active. Can you tell your neighbor, word of God is alive and active? The word of God is alive. Yes. So the word of God is alive and active means whatever you say, it will bear fruit. Okay, because it is from the word of God. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts. So that's what I said. No? It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So as a church, we need to be stronger in the word of God. We need to endure on it. We need to work on it. We need to say, okay, what is the word of God saying today? Today, even as you hear this sermon, go back. Reflect on these scripture portions so that we go stronger and stronger in the word of God as a church and as a community, not only by listening. What is the deeper meaning of this? How do I learn more about the word of God? So enduring in our quest to know God's word, right? In Deuteronomy 8, 2 to 3, it says that, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Right? Jesus also said the same thing, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So if you have the word of God, and I think our community is best, you know, to go and is enduring community, right? There will be no obstacle. Then enduring in our faith journey, right? So many of us, we are glad and we are proud that we have people from very little faith, more faith, great faith, right? So who teaches whom? The great faith person teaches the little faith, or the little faith person teaches the great faith? Who teaches whom? We learn from one another. We build our faith from one another. So suppose there is a miracle happened in one family, we share it with each other in the community and say, this is what happened. We were financially struggling. This happened. Then the other person who has little faith will say, wow, this is what happened in that person's life. This will happen in my life also. So we are encouraging each other. We are building each other in our faith. Rather than saying, oh, my family situation is like that, your family situation is also like that. Okay, and both are mourning with each other. No, when we try and, you know, talk to each other as a church, as a community, we come together and say, let's stir up our faith. So when we were supposed to go to Nilshi, we said, come on, stir up your faith. Take leaves, or, you know, come, you see, you testify what has happened, what will happen. Come with that faith, come with that excitement and see what God can do. So we stir up each other's faith. In Matthew 24, 12, 13, it says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So many times when we are alone, our love may grow cold, right? When there is no community, we have seen that lack of community have, you know, made the person go far away from God. They have become very cold. But the community stirs up warmth. The community stirs up faith. And they build on. And that is why we have to endure in it. Yes. Enduring in our growth. It says in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things or little things. Can't hear everybody. All things or little things? All things. Okay. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Right? So each one of us is called according to His purpose. I cannot compare my purpose with the other person's purpose. But when we come together, every purpose comes like a puzzle. Like a jigsaw puzzle, and it fits in exactly where it is supposed to be. And we endure in our growth. We grow with each other, right? So, can you tell your neighbor that, you know, I am called according to His purpose? Yes. Now again, you tell your neighbor, you are called according to His purpose. Yes. Right? So we are all called according to the purpose of God, to grow, to nurture, to, you know, explore, to nourish each other. So we need to endure in our growth. We cannot say that, okay, enough. I've been 20 years, 30 years knowing the Lord. Or it's okay, 1 year I know the Lord, it's okay, I'm baptized now, I'm very happy. We cannot say that. If you are a living being, okay, any living being, the definition of a living being is it grows, right? So if we are living, it says that the word of the Lord is an active in our life. So we have to grow. We have to come to that level that, okay, from here we have come to there. So maybe by December 31st, we'll see everybody in a different position, posture, and saying that, yes, I have grown in this community together. Where I was lacking, they have filled up, right? So we grow in faith, we grow together in the purpose of God's calling. Okay, so now, enduring during disagreements. Is it common? Yes. It is common everywhere. In our families, we have disagreements. In our workplaces, we have disagreements. So, in the church also there will be disagreements, right? Because we are all sinners, okay? We are all fallen short of the glory of God. And we are all working towards the redemption, Correct? So we are all working towards it. So there will be disagreements. There will be, because we are all different personalities, different family backgrounds, different nurturing, right? We have been brought up in a different way. So there will be disagreements. But what does the word of God say in 2 Timothy 2:23, 26? It says, stay away from foolish and stupid arguments. Imagine finding these words in the Bible. Foolish and stupid. Okay. So that means there are arguments or there are some discussions which is meaningless. Okay. So it says stay away from all that. Because you know they grow into quarrels. Right. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel but must be kind to everyone. A good teacher and patient. The Lord's servant must gently teach those who disagree. Can we read the last line together at the count of three? One, two, three. The Lord's servant must gently teach those who disagree, right? So when somebody disagrees with us, we want to prove our point. We want to say, nay, what you're saying is wrong. I am saying is right. But the word of God says, Lord's servant. So if I consider myself as a Lord's servant, then what I'll do? The Lord's servant must gently teach those who disagree. Not like quarrel with them and saying what you're saying is wrong. How can I teach them? What is my attitude when I'm teaching them? If I also disagree, they also disagree, then it is all going waste. Nobody is listening. But when we teach with an attitude where we understand where they're coming from. And then, unlearning the whole thing, then teaching them. That's what the word of God says. So, enduring during a disagreement, right? Yes, so we endure in prayer for each other. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Okay, so we have prayers, we have community prayers, we have prayer for the city, we have prayer for each other. Okay, so we have to be hopeful, joyful in hope and patient in affliction. As a church, we'll have many hardships. So how many of us actually prayed for the new property? Yes. So we all endure together in this, right? It's not only finances, but we also need to pray because it is a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual thing because we are moving from one place of, being to another place, right? So we request you, if you want to grow as a church, we all have to be a team and we all have to take the vision from whoever, the leader, the worship ministry, or anywhere. We take the vision from them. We pray for it, right? So, enduring in prayer for each other, right? So, can we tell our neighbor, I'm going to endure in prayer for the church. Again, can you tell the full statement? Endure in prayer for the church. Yes. So, now onwards, maybe we can pray for whatever we are discussing, whatever decisions we are making, right? So that we can endure in prayer for each other as a church. Now, enduring together, okay, that is the most important thing. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, right? So be at peace with everyone and endure together. Not single-handedly, not as an individual family, but together we need to endure. As a church, we need to endure. Now, I will quickly share a story about, there is a nice parable that Jesus says about endurance, right? So it says in Matthew 25:1-13, it says, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. Okay, it is written in the Bible itself. Jesus says there were foolish people, there were wise people. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is a very good illustration that Jesus gives, you know, about the church also. Like how we read about Philadelphia. Similarly, this is the church. You know, as a church, who are we? The wise virgins or the foolish ones? Are we saying, "Arey, Jesus will take time to come. Jesus is, you know, abhi nahi aayega, baad mein, barish ke baad." It's not like that, right? We have to be prepared. We have to endure. And we have to grow in the word, as I said. We have to grow in loving each other. We have to grow in overlooking the disagreements, or teaching each other in our disagreements. Or we have to see to it that we are training, discipling. So we are doing the deeds. You remember the deeds that God was talking about? "I know your deeds." So here also, Jesus could have easily said, no, the five wise virgins helped the five foolish virgins. Jesus could have easily said in that story, but he did not say that. He said, they told the foolish virgins, "You go fetch for yourself oil." And whereas the wise virgins had were called to the bridegroom's house. So many times we may feel, we have enough time. First, let me sort out this, that, and then I'll help the church, or then I will do this for the church, then I will contribute my skills to the church. It's not like that. The time is running. Okay, we cannot be like the foolish virgins who will say, "Oh, now still time is there. Still we will have time. Tomorrow I will go for the midweek cell. Tomorrow I will lead this thing." But God is calling us and saying, "You are responsible as a church. If we do not build, then who will build?" Then the wise virgins will say that we will build, and they will move on. And they will move on into the kingdom of God. Right? So, it's a lesson for all of us. We need to persevere and endure till the end. Don't let your lamp go off. Right? So, just a short story about how we persevered as a Renewed Hope community. Okay, so when we began, okay, just for those who do not know about us, so how did we begin? We began in a small house, okay, in the year 2014, on 24th of May, okay, we started, and we were only one family meeting in our home in Akurli. And eventually what happened was, even that family was not regular on Sundays, but we persevered. And we said, "Lord, if this is from you, if this church you are planting is from you, Lord, add people." And then eventually, as the years passed by, two families, three families came in. And then we shifted to a small school, okay, which was on the third floor. Now people find it difficult to climb even the first floor. So there were many who left, who said, "This is not for us." And they said, "We can't climb three floors." Okay, so we lost a lot of people in that due to that location itself. But we still held on, persevered. We didn't have musicians initially. So we used to play songs, and we said, "Okay, let's worship God." And those who were faithful, those who were there, held on, and we used to worship God like that. And then eventually, we shifted to Peace Park. And when we came to Peace Park, it was only a few chairs. Okay, just 20 to 30 chairs. And out of that, only like 15 people used to come. And we suddenly started saying, endurance Question mark. Should we endure here in the city of Panvel? Do you really think, Lord, you want us to be here? You know, we have better opportunities in the other part of Mumbai. But we are here. We are bivocational and we could have flourished there. Do you really want us to be here? We are struggling here with children and, you know, a lot of things happening. Lord, what do you want us to do? So it was almost like, you know, sometimes we felt, should we give up or should we not? Should we endure all this or should we not? But God helped us to persevere, helped us to move on. And then eventually, we are now, can you guess how many of us as a church community? We are around 80 to 90 on roll, like, you know, on average. And we are blessed with a lot of instruments and a lot of other things that God has given us. Skilled people, skilled men and women of God who come, who are trained and who are training, who have caught hold of the vision of the leaders, who have caught hold of the vision of God in the city of Panvel. And we all are, as a team, you know, bringing in a lot of good things in and around, right? So if we would have not endured, if we would have just given up, I don't think we could have seen you guys or, you know, such beautiful people of God, right? So just like Paul says, for I am already being poured out. We were, okay, we were, and we are. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, and there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing, right? So we all need to say this. I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. And here I am, Lord, to receive the crown of glory. Yes? So can we applaud for God? Yes? So we are a church who is going to endure. We are a church who is not going to give up. Yes? Many times there will be situations where we will feel frictions. We will feel unhappy about certain things. But that doesn't mean we give up. We endure. We persevere. We go on. We move on. We sort out issues. Okay? And we are together one family, one community, right? One body of Christ. And we have to function in that way. Amen? So I'll just call upon Virgil to